There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ruthie's Table 4, a production of iHeartRadio and Atomize Studios.
If food is love and love is food, for Valentine's Day today, we thought we should dedicate this episode of Ruthie's Table 4 talking to the chefs, the managers, the waiters, bartenders, gardeners, and some of our previous guests who spoke about the importance of food in celebrating love.
Can I have a second to think about it?
Okay. Food is love.
Food is love. That's a very tricky question. It could be so tailored to any particular individual.
Have you done this to him yet? He's French, he can work it out. Food is love.
Food is love. Wine is love. Probably a nice bottle of rosé champagne. That's love.
I think they're very closely linked, food and love. Because I think the way to a lot of people's heart is through their stomach.
Food is about love, it's about protection, it's about generosity and consciousness, memories. And it's also about comfort. We want to give other people comfort, so we feed them. And there's times when we need comfort, so we feed ourselves. You were describing cooking as one of the great pleasures the other night.
It's one of my biggest passions, you know, along with wine now. Mm. I love to cook. You know, I was in the kitchen the other day cooking for the kids, and Victoria was like, can I help? What can I do? And I was like, honestly, sit down, have a vodka and tonic, relax, be with the kids. This is what I love to do.
And I really relate to that because you kind of follow, there's a method, isn't there? But it's also creative, and it's also, you're doing it for your kids who you haven't seen all day, and there's the anticipation. And I think that is something why you probably like to cook and I like to cook.
It's just one of the main reasons why I love to cook, because it's why I love Lego also, you know, because it relaxes me, you know, and I'm 47 years old and I'll still sit there with, you know, on my own actually till 2, 3, 4 in the morning doing Lego, because actually it relaxes me. And it's the same cooking for the kids. I love to cook for my parents. I love to cook for my friends. And I think that it's obviously come from, you know, my upbringing, and I tried to do the same, and Victoria tries to do the same with the kids as well. You know, we want them to be happy. We want them to be healthy.
Do they cook with you?
They do.
Cooking for my wife. Straightforward as that, you know, like that's my favourite thing to do. Full stop. I have cooked to impress many people over the years with, you know, various levels of success. Sometimes I think the message was so deeply embedded in the, like, you know, lentil broth that it didn't necessarily come across. But, you know, eventually it worked. And I think it's something that people do say quite often, you know, like, oh, you hear it a lot in the kitchen, you know, put some love into this, put some love. But when you actually put genuine love into making something for someone you love, I think it's elevated.
Love is a secret ingredient to a great dish. I always like to think, if I'm cooking for someone, I always try to imagine that I'm cooking for my girlfriend, because then I know I'm going to put extra love into it. And you can taste the love every bite, you know? Listen, my favorite meal at the moment is lasagna. Lasagna is a dish made out of love and hard work. So many different layers. You have to make the beautiful bechamel. You have to make the beautiful sauce. You know, you have to make the beautiful pasta. And everything has to be perfect. So that's my favourite thing to do at the moment, the lasagna, sure, 100%. Mate, do you know what? I don't have a girlfriend at the moment. You're breaking my heart reminding me, but hopefully I'll meet someone by then and I'll have something to cook, you know?
I love cooking. I'm doing this play here at the moment and I'm actually living at a friend's house. My kids are, you know, spending the summer with their dad and at my mum's. But when things are a little bit more normal and we're all living together under one roof, then I'd make every weekend without fail. I do a Sunday roast on a Sunday. My mum said actually that one of the funniest memories that she has of me is, this is my emotional connection to roast dinners, that when I went travelling around Asia and I must have been 18 or 19 and I came back and she'd obviously, you know, made a roast dinner because that's why I said that I wanted to come back for, and we sat around the table as a family, and once we'd finished, my sister went, "Oh, thanks Mum, that was delicious, the gravy was amazing," and I just burst into tears because I'd forgotten to put the gravy on.
You've been away too long. I think so. The roast tradition is something that goes back from your childhood to yours, and then to your children. Do you think?
Yeah, I think even my mum's childhood as well. You know, I think she was sort of raised on roast dinners. I mean, maybe it's because in my family, just the way that things have worked out, my mum being, you know, a single working mother, and that was possibly the one time a week that we all did come together around a table. You know, there wasn't much of that. Mm. I don't really have memories of sitting around a table as a family, but I do on Sundays.
I think I'm quite good at roast, but I mean, there's nothing like your mum's cooking, is there? So I can never quite get that element in there that she seems to get it. But I think it's just a lot of stock that she uses, so it could just be that.
I love to cook. My dad was a cook. I used to watch him the whole time. It's something I do here as well. I just kind of watch people cooking, and it's my favourite thing to do. Particularly when you work on the pass. If you have a spare moment, you just watch people. And you pick up so many things.
Food and love. Gosh, food is love, isn't it? I mean, I cook for my husband every single day. And that is like my way of showing love for him. That's my love language for him, food. His love language is definitely, I'd say, words of affirmation. Yeah. It's definitely not food. He definitely doesn't cook for me.
I don't really cook. I think my love language is probably being cooked for, eating the food. Food is the way to my heart. Just, yeah, if someone puts in a lot of time and effort to cook a nice meal, I think that says a lot. And it's a nice little thing to do.
And so do you do that with your children? Do you cook with them?
I do.
But do you think that your interest in cooking for them does come from your own childhood? Or
I do. Because it was such an unabashed expression of my father's love for us. Like, there was no denying it. And when someone is so excited about, like, the sear on their baby back ribs, you know, and like, look at this, look what I did. You know, it's so imbued with love that you can't, it's undeniable. And so you learn it as a love language. I just had this weekend, I had a house full of people at our house in Santa Barbara. And I was making all these different breakfasts and, you know, my friends are like, "Oh my God, we feel so terrible." And I was like, "No, you don't understand. Like, this is my love language. Yeah. Like, I'm so happy doing this."
Yeah. A few years ago, I was living in Peru in a van, and it was my girlfriend's birthday. She's from Australia and she'd been missing, you know, food from her home. And so I decided I was going to make her sausage rolls, which is easy here, but not easy in Peru, because you can't get the puff pastry, or even the sausage meat, like, needs to be fresh minced and stuff. So I went around town all day looking for all of the ingredients. Never made puff pastry before, made it myself, but didn't have a rolling pin, so used a little wine bottle. You know, went to the butcher there, and this lady in full Peruvian getup is there with a machete, you know, hacking up the meat for me. I didn't even have an oven, so I had to borrow an oven, and it was taking forever. It took hours, but it was a surprise, so she had no idea what was happening. She just knew that I was cooking up a storm, and it took like 2 days because of the puff pastry having to chill. But they were the most amazing sausage rolls I've ever had, and I don't think I'll ever beat it. She was blown away, and yeah, she almost cried.
I suppose if you were ever to try and do something romantic or think about it, your first thought would always be to use food as the gateway to enhance that situation. And then your memories of a romantic scenario has always been intrinsically linked to food. So I guess that's what it brings up for all of us.
By the way, I fell in love with my wife over dinner.
Did you? Tell me about it. Where was that? What's the story?
We had run into one another at an event in New York, and through a variety of complicated circumstances, it took us 18 months to have the first dinner. 18 months.
18 months. Wow.
Which is extraordinary.
That's a lot of patience to wait 18 months.
Yeah, but for both of us. And there I was thinking about this woman that I had met 18 months ago, trying to figure out where to take her to dinner. And we went to a restaurant called Allison on Dominick. Dominick is a street in downtown New York, which was not only really good food, but quite romantic. And that was our first official date, June 13th, 1994. We celebrate the anniversary of that date more than we celebrate our wedding anniversary. And, I mean, she claimed that she knew that night over a good meal at Allison on Dominick. I think I probably did, too. But
yeah, yeah.
It was the beginning of a great romance and now 25 years of marriage.
Is the restaurant still there?
No, the restaurant is not there. But we've carried on a tradition of having dates since then. I think one of the nicest parts of my life, and there are many, is just being able to go out to dinner alone with my wife. If I know that I'm doing that, I look forward to it all week. It's one of the things I've missed the most from the pandemic.
So when we reopened after COVID, what I found absolutely incredible, it was this sort of mentality of everyone just wanting to be together and just be so respectful and so happy. And kind of all what I remember when I think about it is those big coats and blankets and the big scarves, and everyone was just so happy to sit outside. There were evenings where it was freezing, it was so cold, and we were standing outside in our big jumpers. But there was just something so magical about it, about society coming together again after being apart and being in such a dark times. And I kind of remember the opening. Of course, I remember the fears and everything else, but it just felt such a like joyous time, and everyone was so happy. And yeah, everyone was wearing big jackets. That's all I remember. But I remember that it's a very happy memory when we reopen again.
And just in addition to Sylvia's big jackets and people sitting outside being happy, I'll never forget the bride sitting outside on table 301 in November, and it was raining. Yeah. And she was sitting there. She was just there. She was like, I'm having my wedding. Yeah. And it was amazing. And they had a great time. Yeah. And I also remember there was the first time when we came back, because there were obviously quite a few closures, and every time was like, not again. And one of our very regular customers, Susie Arden, remember when she, first time she came back, she stood in the door and she had just like tears coming down. And she just said like, oh guys, I'm just so happy to see you. I'm just so happy that you are okay. It was just so sweet. And we were like, oh, it was very emotional.
I would probably say, if you were to ask people closest to me, I'm not always the most fun to be with in the kitchen. Because I did have my stint in kitchens, you know, and I learned from professionals, and it's a very tough place, a kitchen. Mm. You know, it requires a particular type of focus and a sense of geography, you know, like knowing small spaces and moving hot things. And I think I might take it all a bit too seriously. It's a general note for myself. Okay. But I think that my sister likes it when I cook for her. My nieces like it when I cook for them. I love cooking for my nieces. I love asking them what it is that everything that they want. That to me is like, what is your favorite? What do you want me? I'm coming over. I'm going to bring you anything that you want. We're going to cook it. Mm. You know, and just the satisfaction of that is there's nothing like that to me.
I always think if you're trying to woo someone, getting them involved in the process of making something is very important. So I would kind of, like, here we make lovely, like, ravioli from scratch and we make pasta, and it's a brilliant skill to learn. So So I think I would, you know, have the dough and the filling and everything else, like the sauce if you're going to do it, ready to go. And then I have my pasta machine set up at home and get them involved in the process of, you know, making tortelloni or different types of pasta shapes and kind of, you know, you can show off a little bit and make something together and then cook it together and eat it, and you put everything together, which I think is quite romantic.
Food is love conjures up, for me, chocolate mousse and steak tartar.
Tell me about your love for chocolate.
My earliest memories are about loving chocolate. I remember once when I was a very little girl, my big brother, who was a teenager, my parents said, "You can have the car if you bring Nancy home some ice cream first." He brought vanilla ice cream home. I put it under the bed, never ate it, because it wasn't chocolate. Why would he bring me vanilla ice cream? But I've always loved it. And as time has gone by, I've loved it darker and darker and darker.
Yeah. And what about ice cream? Because I did read that you have ice cream for breakfast, or is that an urban myth?
No, it's not an urban myth. Mm. It's convenient. It's right there. Mm. It has long shelf life. You don't have to worry about it. It's right there. And but I have it for breakfast. It's a great way to start the day. I don't have it every day, but I have it often. And when I was younger, I used to have it before I went to sleep, a pint of chocolate ice cream. But as time has gone by, the later the chocolate, the less sleep I have.
If I was to make a Valentine's meal, I would probably make a truffle tagliarini. I think truffles are amazing.
I would make tagliarini with caviar. Tagliarini, lightly, you know, tossed with butter and a tiny little bit of lemon, and then a massive spoonful of caviar on top. Beautiful glass of champagne. Yeah, I love it.
My love food is risotto and pasta.
Well, my instant thought is like a big warm pie. It sounds horrible when I say it like that, but like, pies hold a very special place in my heart, being from the north, so I just feel like it's a big hug in a plate, big pie. That's what I'd say.
I'm half Italian, so I think it would definitely be Italian food for me. I think probably, like, from the expression, like, labour of love, things that take a long time to, like, prepare and cook, for me, are, like, really special because they've taken so much, like, care to do. So, like, just a simple baked pumpkin, you have to, like, peel it, and the preparation of it is really long. So, yeah, the longer and the more care into it, for me, means more love's been put into it.
The meal I most enjoy eating with my partner is toast. So, yeah, it can be really anything as long as it's with the person that you love.
As much as I love cooking for other people, I think being cooked for, especially as a chef, is like the nicest thing anyone could do. But everyone always gets like quite nervous, I think, cooking for you when you do that as your job. But I literally couldn't care less what anyone gave me. I would honestly just love anything. Yeah.
Oh no, this is terrible. The first thing that came to my mind was a McDonald's. But yeah, I don't know. Food is love. I don't know if it's a boring answer, but I'd probably just go bottle of champagne.
I would say freshness, seasonal, comfortable, cozy, and warmth. Something like that. At the moment in the world, you know, going bananas, and you look at nature and just, you know, there's nothing is happening, and you feel kind of hopeful that, you know, life carries on. Do you know what I mean?
Trying to think if I should go for like a typical, like...
My name's Olivia, and I work in the office doing a bit of everything, really.
My name's Dick, and I'm a bartender.
My name's Stephen Hampson, and I'm one of the restaurant managers.
My name is Christoph, I'm the head sommelier.
I'm Kitty, and I'm Ruthie's PA.
My name's Joseph Trevelli, and I'm the co-executive chef at the River Cafe.
My name is Ricky, and I'm one of the most charming chefs at the River Cafe.
Tabby, I work in the shop.
And my name is Max, I'm a head waiter at the River Cafe.
Imogen, I'm shop operations manager.
I'm Tate.
My name is Jackie and I'm a chef.
My name is Sylvia Lizewska and I am reservations manager at the River Cafe.
My name is Alex Pajdik and I'm a floor manager at the River Cafe.
I'm Otto and I'm a chef in the kitchen.
My name is Sophia and I'm a chef at the River Cafe.
I am Jess and I'm a chef at the River Cafe.
My name is Sean Winowen and I am the executive chef at the River Cafe.
Hi, my name is Ivan.
I'm Rosie and I'm a pastry chef.
I am called Ceci and I am a cook at the River Cafe.
I'm Shula, I'm marketing and e-commerce manager.
I'm Hebe and I am a chef at the River Cafe.
Hi, my name is Jamie Vilhena and I'm the gardener at the River Cafe.
Happy Valentine's Day. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.